welcome to another episode of EQCast. I'm your host, Christy Pritchard. Thanks so much for joining us on this unconventional sideshow of healing and self-betterment. This is where you can find unscripted conversations with authentic humans sharing their trials and triumphs around their emotional wellness journey. We keep it light, but we can get dark, so fasten your seatbelts. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to welcome my friend Ashley Swiss. She's an intuitive reader and light worker from Vancouver Island. I've actually known Ashley for a few decades now, rolling back to the 80s, doing some lip syncing to the mini pops in the backyard. I think we've come a bit of a long way since then. Mm-hmm. She's here today to talk about her. Oh, do you want to say hi first? Yeah, maybe let's have you say hi.
Oh, hey. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So stoked that you're here. She's here today to talk about her personal story of childhood trauma brought about emotional and mental breakdown, and that kicked off her path to healing. And we're also going to talk about a topic maybe not too many people here are familiar with. I know when I first heard this term, I nearly fell off my chair, but the term is twin flame. We're just going to touch on that lightly at the end. So stay to the end if you want to know what the heck that means. And we'll probably just start with your childhood stuff. I know I was around, but I did not get the inner workings of the Swiss household. I was in for lip syncs and that was about it.
I had a pretty decent childhood. I mean, it wasn't horrific the whole time. My family dealt with some pretty heavy blows as a young family, I think. So I think there was a strange dynamic. My sister was born with Turner syndrome. So that all of a sudden kind of took a lot of time and effort and energy from my parents and placed it on her, which is totally understandable as an adult, but as a child, you don't understand those kinds of things. We had a house fire. Christy remembers that.
Yes, I sure do. That was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys came to stay with us didn't you?
We did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so that's like the super early years stuff. And then as an adult, I did a whole whack load of healing stuff and discovered that I had PTSD from the fire and a lot of other trauma. They teach you that there's big traumas and little traumas. Little traumas are just like little things, right? Like that teacher said you were stupid that one day and it stuck with you for 45 years. Big traumas are things like abuse and those bigger moments. And I actually had a lot more little traumas that were causing a lot more real problems in my life, which I thought was interesting. I mean, there was a lot of family dynamic with an older sister with an illness and my parents kind of looking at her more. It definitely, that caused me a lot more pain and suffering and neglect. Yeah. And feeling like an outsider in my own home led me to feeling like an outsider no matter what social group I went into and just always having that anxiety. And that's something that I worked through over the last year, which is pretty impressive. Not impressive.
It is impressive. Give yourself some damn credit. Please, shit. Can you tap on that shit?
God, I'm good.
Hell yeah, it's true though. Like,
it's pretty impressive how it works.
I want to make a point though that a lot of people don't account for those little traumas that build up over time. Yeah. It's the tiny little buggers that kind of sneak around and just go undetected until they bite you in the butt.
They get you.
Yeah, they get you.
And that child inside of you, like, it's fair to say as an adult, like, oh, well, that shouldn't bother you. It's just this little thing. But kids are different, right? They think different. They feel different. They're more emotionally in tune, I believe. They're more spiritually connected, whether they talk about it or not. Things impact kids differently. And I mean, a teacher dumping my desk out and ridiculing me in front of a class for having a messy desk. It's not about me understanding as an adult. It's about me understanding as the adult so that I can go and explain that to my inner child.
Your inner child, yeah. Explain that.
And be there for her. And 90% of the time, every time we went into one of those EMDR sessions, it was me rescuing me, which I loved.
Yeah.
I got to go to those dark places where that little girl was scared and sad and feeling ridiculed or like she didn't fit in. And I got to go in there and scoop her up and hold her and give her that love that she needed, which is just a beautiful circle. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's that thing, like we're the ones we're waiting for. We totally are. We completely and totally are.
Yeah, it's true.
And just having that image, I don't know how visualization works for you, if it's very powerful.
For hypnotherapy, it was incredibly powerful. For
yeah. And closing your eyes and seeing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being there for her. I mean, yeah, it's the brain I don't know if you've ever looked into like neurolinguistic programming and neuronets in the brain. And so like, it doesn't
Dr.
know
Joe Dispenza talks about it
a lot.
Yeah. He's the best.
His new book is so good.
I haven't read the new one. Is it like,
I'm halfway through Becoming Supernatural. It's massive, but
oh yeah, they're
it's
always
so good. So good.
Power so through. Good. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, totally. But yeah, no, it doesn't know. The brain doesn't know if you're experiencing something imagined or real, right? So going back into those moments, I mean, you're setting that neural net up for like, oh, wait a minute, I am accepted and I am loved and it's from me. I mean, that's, you're never going to get abandoned. You're never going to get left alone. You're never
going to. Well, we do self-abandon sometimes, but that's a whole topic for a whole other thing. I self-abandon a lot. Well, I used to. I don't any longer, because it brings awareness. As soon as you start realizing that you're self-abandoning, you're like, oh, hey, you stop.
Wait a minute.
Now. You come first. You come first, little one, big one.
Totally.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a hard habit to get into, but once you start recognizing your slips and deviating from your path, then it gets a little easier to see where you're getting off course. But at first, self-abandonment has been huge for me to recover from. And I also wanted to talk about 2011 breakdown that you had. I know you're open to talk about it, and I'm grateful that you are.
Yeah,
that was yours.
I had a full-blown mental breakdown in Kelowna in 2011. I went out to center of gravity with a person I was dating at the time and some old friends. And I don't know, man, I think I just knew I was making horrible life choices. I wasn't listening. I was not connecting to myself. I hadn't dealt with a lot of the childhood stuff deep enough. The world was against me and F everybody. And I don't know, I just snapped, something snapped inside of me. And I was super negative that day. I was crazy judgmental. I mean, I take full responsibility and accountability for my actions. I mean, I acted completely nuts. I don't know, something just broke in me. I honestly think it was just too many years in a row, not listening and not being connected and not knowing me enough to not abandon myself. Right. And then I got kicked out of my hotel room, rightly so. They all decided to leave Kelowna without me. So thankfully I had some friends that were there also that were on their way back to the island. So I got a ride with one of my dear friends, but I just knew that night. I mean, I didn't sleep. I sat in the truck all night and I just didn't sleep. I just was like, there's something. It had gotten so bad that I had realized that I was the problem. I don't know if you've ever had a situation like that happen
I'm the problem.
Yeah. And you're just all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. I just spent like 6 hours losing my shit and now it's me. And I'm the only common denominator in all of these different situations and all of these relationships and the turmoil that I had had as a teenager with my family. Like, it was me. I had a bit of a spiritual experience that evening as well. In like the lowest part of my feeling, I felt something come around me, which I guess I will say is spirit or God or an angel. I don't know. But I immediately, I was held in that moment and calmed. And I'll never forget that presence. Like, it was definitely not inside of me at that time. I didn't have it in me to soothe myself, but I did. It's like I had the realization that I was the problem. And then this spiritual thing happened, maybe an awakening, I don't know. And then next day I got in the car and I was like, this will never happen to me again. And I got a doctor's appointment because I figured I should probably go on antidepressants. I got a therapist appointment and I booked a life coach.
Out of those three, what do you think had the most impact?
I think the combination of all of them, to be honest. Like, I think where I was at the time, I really needed all of those things. There's so much value in a therapist.
Yes.
But at the time, it was just talk therapy. Mm-hmm. I needed the help with the antidepressants. I haven't since gone on antidepressants. Just because
their own, like, obviously some people,
they're great if you were in a really bad place and you need to get back up on your feet. And that's how I use them. I told my doctor explicitly, I need this right now because I'm so low. I mean, he worked with me. He was understanding that they shouldn't be used as a long-term, that coupled with therapy and life coaching, that they can help. And they did. I was on them for, I think, 6 months and then I weaned them off, weaned myself off of them. But the talk therapy was great. But then the life coach just brought another element of getting kind of a plan and a focus. And she was very spiritual too. Perfect. So she guided me connecting with myself. And I learned about manifestation and the power of the mind and what we focus on grows. And I made a lot of changes. I I used to watch the news prior to that. Stop watching the news. I just stopped giving my attention to shit that just made me feel like shit.
That you can't control too. And that's the part that really gets me with stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's news is necessary to a degree, I think, but I haven't watched it in a long time because of that reason. I'm powerless to any of that stuff, and it's circulating more negativity that I can't totally talk about. It's just like, forget it.
It's not even worth it.
No,
I can go and read a headline if I need to know stuff that's going on, but sitting down and watching it, so yeah, no, that
good for you. All of that
spun me off in a big different direction. So
awesome. Yay. I'm very proud of you. And then so we rolled after 2011. What happened with you then? Oh, I believe you met a man you were engaged to for a while. Do you want to talk about that relationship a little bit? Obviously, we don't throw any names around.
Yeah. Ted.
Ted.
Yeah, no, we met a while after I got my shit together, and then we ended up together for almost 5 years and engaged, and it was good. It was just a nice, peaceful relationship. I look back on it now and I feel like the universe was like, here, go and enjoy this calm, peaceful, wonderful place to just have a happy existence for a while because you're not done. But it was like, I needed that reprieve. And I think that was the first time I really let myself date somebody that I thought was too good for me. I know that sounds nuts, but I thought he was too good for me, but then he was also such a good person. And I was like, I want to be with somebody like this. And I was ready. I think I'd done enough healing that I was able to allow that to happen and for me. And we had a great almost 4 or 5 year relationship, traveled a lot, got a dog that I got to keep.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, I started to feel a pull in my soul and my spirit to move on and start the learning process again, because I think there's levels, right? I think we'll only deal with so much. For me, at least, it's like, okay, I can heal this. And then now we're going to go up a level and we're going to do this. And then we're going to take a break. And then we're going to go up another level. That's how the path is unfolded for me. So I left that relationship to everyone's shock and surprise and dismay. My mother took it harder than anybody.
Oh my God, I can imagine.
Oh, that was painful to deal with.
You're feeling a call, and I'm glad you took the call because it seems like things have unfolded for you in a pretty great way ever since then. So
totally.
You left that relationship, and you did what after that?
I focused on me. I lived with myself. I didn't have a roommate. I did what I wanted to do. I took up surfing again. I got way into mountain biking. I just took time to be me and casually dated, but I wasn't looking for a husband. I wasn't looking for that anymore. I just had kind of moved kind of past it and was just looking to have fun. And again, like it's another level of getting to know myself and trusting myself and connecting and being in connection with myself, that getting to know yourself, that listening to yourself, like the know yourself thing. I don't know. And strengthening my intuition. Like, yeah, I don't
happens
know,
when
my spiritual connection. It's crazy.
It is so crazy. It's beyond. Yeah. I'm glad.
And it's wild to me that it takes us so fucking long to sit, so long to sit down and get to know ourselves. Through my readings, I've had a lot of quite younger girls come to me, and 90%, it's like I don't even feel like I'm reading half the time, because I'm like, just stop dating. Be yourself for a while.
Know yourself.
Let's find out who you are. How about, because that's the most, and to getting to know our own intuition, I think, is like huge in our spiritual connection for sure.
100%. And also living alone, I know.
Yeah.
I think it's necessary. I think everyone should do that immediately after high school. Like immediately.
Yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine if you'd figured that out in your 20s?
Yeah. Boom.
Oh my God.
Game changer. So amazing. And so, and eventually you met a glorious man whom is your partner now. And I know that there's a bit of a story into how it got to be glorious, if you would like to expand on that.
I will. It's actually really funny. When I first met him, it was at a party, and I was like chatting with him all night. Kind of, we were around a fire and there's a bunch of people there. I remember at one point in the night, he got a little bit tipsy and he was like, if I had a chance, I could get you. And I was like, you could, no way. And I left the party that night, and then like a series of weird events over the following couple years kept crossing our paths, and eventually we ended up together. But yeah, shortly thereafter, it was just a lot of stuff came up. I had stuff I hadn't finished healing come back to the surface for another round.
Some more triggers.
Some more triggers, some more stuff. Stuff that actually touched on the 2011 time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was crazy because I was like, no.
I thought I had completed that.
Dealt with this. Why is this stuff coming up? And it was around just fitting in and I think giving a shit too much about what people thought. I carried a lot of shame from my breakdown. I cut all of the people out that were involved in it, which I felt was a very smart and wise thing to do in 2011. I still think
it's have you reconnected with any of them since?
No, none of them that were there, except inadvertently through my partner's ex. There's people involved, so I was like, of course,
it's bringing to throw it in your face.
Has to be friends with those people. Of course, I don't know who this 100%. Woman is, but obviously the universe is just thinking this is the greatest idea for me ever. So that's part of that synchronicity thing. There's no way that this is a joke.
Yeah.
Like this just can't be a coincidence. I meet this guy. We have all these synchronistic events.
We might as well tell the audience by a joke. We mean, and the synchronistic events, we are talking about what is called a twin flame journey.
Yeah.
And it's quite an interesting phenomenon. I don't know if that's even the appropriate. It's an interesting
connection.
Yeah. But I have been doing some research myself on this lately, just because I keep hearing about it and it's very intriguing to me. And I can't believe that today I just kind of reached out. This is a very last minute podcast, by the way. Ashley and I were just kind of chatting, and I don't talk about this topic very much to people, but something inside of me compelled me to mention it to Ashley today. And she shared her story, and then I was like, come on the podcast. And so here we are. So yeah, I definitely am looking forward to her perspective on the twin flame journey. And also just to kind of let the listeners know a little bit, we're not going to get too deep into it. I think we're going to do another episode we talked about, maybe a bit more in depth about it. Maybe grease you guys up a little and just throw it out there a little bit as to what this might entail. So I'll let you take the floor again, and I'll do my best to keep my mouth shut because this topic does intrigue me a lot. So go right ahead.
Yeah. So looking back on the path, I leave one great peaceful relationship because I know that there's growth to be done. I spend some years being on my own, which is growth in itself. And then I meet this partner, which is just like opening a can of worms of growth. Just so many things on both sides.
Yeah.
Relationships typically you meet and it's just hearts and rainbows and you're like, oh, just want to be together. And there was a lot of that too at the beginning, but then in the stages where it was like 2-3 months together, what should have torn us apart almost tore us apart. Like it just brought up all of these triggers inside of me that I was just like, what in God's name is happening?
Yeah.
And same for him, but I was a lot more thinking of me and my path for the first while. And then about a year in, it really started to shift where it was like, okay, wow, you have a lot of stuff here too. And we wanted to split and we did take time apart we didn't live together. So that definitely helped, but there was a lot of like me being like, I don't think I can do this. But then another side of me being like, don't you dare, don't you dare run from this. And I wanted to, and I think he did too, but he said the same thing. He's like, I don't know what it is inside of me. This is not good. Like we are stressing each other out. We are dealing with a lot, but like there's something inside of me that's just telling me to stay here.
Yeah.
That I have to stay for the healing. There's a journey here. And what I learned really is that just I can go, I can leave a situation and do some healing, but if I'm not triggered, how can I heal that? And in my belief, the relationship is the perfect container to be triggered.
I agree. I mean, I do believe that there is a lot of healing that can be done on our own, of course, but only to an extent. And without the triggers, you won't know what's blowing up inside of you.
100%.
But it is usually a dual dynamic to get down to the really nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah. After
that, there's a blissful light at the end of the tunnel. So I hear.
There might be.
We're going to keep looking for it.
There might be.
I'm going to keep going.
But then there's those layers, right?
Yeah,
it's just another fucking layer.
But I do feel better after every layer gets shed. That is 100% true. I feel lighter.
I do feel lighter.
Right? And especially in the last 5 or 6 months, a lot has shifted. So tell me more about your personal shifting energy.
In the last, how long?
Good question.
Should we go into the night of the soul stuff?
Yeah.
It started around like September. I just started to feel like such a big shift. I mean, it wasn't a good one.
Well, there was eventually, totally.
Yeah. And that's one thing I should say is like any sort of depressive state or any sort of like challenging time, like roll with it, continue to push through it, sit with those feelings. They're uncomfortable and they suck, but my God, don't turn on the TV and don't reach for a glass and just sit with them. I mean, they're like little kids. I've noticed your feelings, especially the shit that's way down there, like little children. I don't know if you've ever sat at a table with a friend that's got like a 4 or 5 year old and you're trying to have an adult conversation. They're like, mommy, 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 mommy. And you're continuing to talk. The mom's like, just not now, not now, not
mommy's
now.
Having
and
mommy then, juice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Just go away. And then they come back, mommy, mommy. And then finally the mom's just like, okay, what? And they're just and then they run away laughing. And that's all that they wanted was, and that's to me what those feelings coming up are. They just want your acknowledgement.
Yep.
And oftentimes if you just sit with that, I mean, I'm not saying you should sit with depression for years. No. I mean, there should be help that you're giving yourself and providing, obviously. But this time around, something told me to just sit. And so I sat and I was depressed and I just sat and I was depressed and I was sat. And I didn't do anything for a good month. And then it got to the point where I was reading lots about the ego and the separation of the ego. And I was meditating a lot and trying to get to my spirit. Because if I could only get to my spirit and eliminate this ego thing, well, all my problems would be solved.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And ultimately what I just ended up realizing was I think 3 days there where I just fully lost the ego, but I lost, which told me a lot about myself. Obviously I'd hung a lot of things on my ego.
Yeah.
And then I lost the motivation but there was joy there too, right? Like I maybe didn't sink as far into spirit as I could have. Maybe I just eliminated ego and just sat there and was like, well, now what do I do?
Whereas the ego is the one who tells you what to do. So you
that's the thing.
That's why egos are kind of necessary to a degree, but
totally. And I did. I reached out to a spiritual role model of mine and she basically said exactly what you just said. You do need the ego. We need it. We do need it. But you have to be in control of it.
And it's discerning. Like, yeah. And understand what is the pain body and the wounded part of the ego and what is the for our self-betterment, you know, which
totally.
Is it my fear or my intuition? Is it my pain body? Is it, you know, discerning?
And that's the know yourself. So know yourself. Thing, right? You're not going to know how to disconcern what's going on up here if you're not spending time paying attention and learning it. Maybe. And I said the same thing about intuitive abilities in my readings. Some people have said, wow, so crazy. How do you do this? I was like, absolutely everybody can do this. It's just, are you paying attention? Are you in tune? Are you trusting yourself enough to say, okay, I can do this? Knowing that your intuitive abilities, they're real. Those, like, that's it. Like that, oh, I just had this flash image of you being in this place. That's it. That's basically what a psychic does, essentially.
Crazy. And we just tap into that by the more we get to know ourselves and the more we tap into our self-awareness and our consciousness, I believe. So mm-hmm. I guess fast forwarding to now, like not quite now, but in the last 8 months, I know you've mentioned because of the work that has been done and the self-awareness on both of your sides from Ted's and yours, you have really established a smoother bond because both people are being accountable. You want to get into
that? There's a friendship there now. Like it's not like, why would you do that? Or why would you say that? Or how dare you? It's okay. I see what you have to work on and heal. And he can see what I've got going on. Right. So there's just a deeper and greater understanding and a lot more patience. I mean, it's something we still have to work on because we're both pretty stubborn.
It's like, a constant process.
It is. And I think that's kind of normal for all relationships. I mean, I haven't had or seen a relationship ever that doesn't have some level of conflict. I mean, especially when you take two people that are willing to look at themselves and willing to do some work there. I think at all points of growth, you reach a point where there's acceptance. And I think maybe that might've been the biggest piece I got from the the dark night period in my life where it was just kind of like nothing mattered, absolutely nothing mattered. And that wasn't a bad thing. It was just kind of like, we're giving meaning to everything. We're the ones giving the meaning. And eventually you do so much growth and you ask so many other people for their opinions, or you talk to so many therapists that you get to a point where you're just like, you know what? I know these things for myself. And I think the large piece, I think I got that too from the EMDR. Once I went through my full session of EMDR, the further we got into it, the more it wasn't about finding out stuff. It was more about accepting who I am as a whole and releasing. Person. Getting to a point where like, when does it stop? And like grow, you can continue to grow your entire life. And I probably will do that. I don't think there'll ever come a point where I'm like, okay, and I'm done now.
Yeah.
Because I've done that. And then yeah. I had
and then all of a sudden
5 years that were great. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh,
damn.
I should probably throw this out the window and just continue on this growth thing. But yeah, there is an acceptance thing. And for me and my partner, it's definitely gotten to that part where it's not as much about the Dukes being up and the triggering and all of that stuff as it is about just seeing each other wholeheartedly. And we're still working through our own individual stuff, but at least it's not being blindly thrown around and we're not very aware of it.
And
like you'll say some things. Yeah. I'm like, are you talking to me? Are you talking to your mother?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I'm because we do that, right? Like the beginning, I was like, you don't love me. The very beginning. And then looking back on it, I had reverted to this child in my home that didn't feel like I fit in. I didn't feel like I was loved and appreciated. That's what it was. I wasn't looking at his actions and saying, based on what I'm seeing here, you don't love me. Because he was like, I love you. I don't know how else to tell you. I'm telling you, I'm showing you, I'm doing everything I can here. Yeah. What is going on? And for me, it was like I had these trauma glasses on and I couldn't
blinders,
see it.
Trauma glasses. Oh my goodness. I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
They're blinding.
But then again, going back to know yourself, if you don't know what those traumas are, you don't know what baggage you're carrying. I mean, we're walking around with these heavy ass suitcases, having no clue what we put in there, carry them around.
Totally. And it takes those triggers in order to become aware, but then it also takes time to realize that those were trauma glasses. You know, as much as I know that when I'm alone, there's still the gray area, I guess you could say, of how to recognize quickly. Anyway, I recognize, but it's usually a little bit too late when something is escalated. But you've gotten to a place where you recognize on the spot.
Most times.
No, I have not. Yeah.
It depends on if I'm fed, if I've slept well, the cycles of the moon.
Cycles of the moon, goddamn tides.
Aquarius. Yeah. What are the astrological signs doing? You're talking about the moon cycles.
Holy crap. We just lost connection and totally just recorded, but didn't record for the last 15 minutes or so. But okay. Yeah, we all get a little crazy and a little squirrely sometimes with all of our bits. It's the moon cycle. So I guess I'm going to ask you one other question. It might be, how does Ted feel about aliases are used, obviously, if you guys haven't picked up on that yet. How does Ted feel about the twin flame status?
Accepts it more because I talk about it. I think he sees a lot of like similarities, things that just line up and make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And whether we're a twin flame or we're just, I don't know, two wayward souls floating through the universe here to learn a bunch of shit from each other, I think that's what matters the most.
Yeah, the title really mean shit. Oops, that was a big loud swear word. The title doesn't mean bleep. It's really about what, and I don't like the sound of it personally. It sounds cheesy to me. When I first heard it, I was like, can people stop using that term? But without knowing what it meant. As soon as I kind of looked into the basis of it, not the spiritual science of it, that part, we have no way of actually knowing that. We have no way of knowing, let's be honest. As far as just the pattern of growth goes, I really love and how you can challenge one another and support each other and learn to heal your own shit. I don't know how else to expand on that. If you want to chime in while I stop rambling.
Oh, what was I gonna say? Shit. The flow. Where's the flow?
Flow.
No, I think it's, I don't know, from my own personal experience, I think it is a real thing. I mean, it is strange how you can have a lot of different relationships with a lot of different people, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and just kind of kicks down the door, and you kick down their door, and all of a sudden your walls that you have up are not really working, right? I don't know if you noticed that, but like any wall you did have, well, they seemed to find a little crack and they were able to, poke on through there. And that was a big thing. And stuff that I thought was dealt with and healed, he brought to that surface. And
I agree with that one for sure.
And a lot of other people didn't. And yeah. there's no, like, I was the same kind of way in those relationships. It's not like I change a whole lot between relationships. So why now am I this person, and why this type of energy, and why is the theme our trauma, you know, when it hasn't been. So I do think there's some validity to it for sure. And I think that the more I see the validity and I talk about it with my partner, obviously the more he's pretty getting way more spiritual, I think, as time goes on. I mean, I think that's kind of everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the energy floating around, if it's the time a lot of people have had to just kind of sit and be with themselves the last year. Yeah, he's definitely getting a lot more spiritual. I told him at one point, I was probably spouting off about some sort of spiritual experience I had. And I think he kind of scoffed, and I was like, you know, we pick the people we pick because of certain things you got to go through in life. And it also just brings a hell of a lot of comfort between the two of us that, like, you know what, maybe something bigger than us is taking place here. And maybe we should be a little bit more humbled by it, and that this is an opportunity, because at the end of the day, we could part ways and never deal with our shit.
Yeah.
And end up with another relationship. Numb out
forever.
Yeah, and numb out, or end up in another relationship ends. Repeat and the then another one patterns, that ends, yeah. And another one that ends. And I mean, I've also wanted a life partner. And at the end of the day, when you want a life partner, well, you got to deal with your life shit. Yeah. And it's hard work, but we've pushed through, which is shocking.
Much of it, yeah.
And we're good friends now too, right? Like, we've gone through so much that there's a solid friendship there now. It's like
foundation.
It's like going on a really rocky road trip and you're like, can't believe we made it home.
Oh yes, I know. Yes, that road. So. literally and figuratively.
And figuratively. Yeah, so
well, I'm very happy for you guys that you've made it onto the other side. Yeah, the energy that you get and continue to gain after the clearings and after getting rid of the old garbage that's mm-hmm. built up inside of us, you know, it's next level. SHIT.
Boom.
Boom. Mic drop. Oh, I can't. It is on a post nailed to my desk.
Just slap it. Tap it or something.
Mic tap. Boom. Awesome. Well, I'm super glad that I realized that I had not hit record after our little disconnect. Boom. I think That's we can okay. wrap up there. And I just want to say a huge thank you so much for coming on and sharing so much. And yeah, we covered.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm so glad you made it. And last minute too. That was super awesome. What you doing later?
Yeah, still unemployed. It's fine.
Oh, COVID, you wretched, wretched.
Oh, good times.
It is allowed for a lot of clearing and a lot of projects to start, and you guys got to totally. Renovate a house and all these beautiful things. Like, you can't replace that, and we wouldn't have had the time.
No.
To
a lot and in all honesty, stuff. life was asking me to stop for a long time before that. There was a lot of signs and I wasn't listening, and life just put the brakes on for me.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, this is great. And then I was like, this is not. And then it was good again. And then it wasn't. And now it's good again. But that's life, right?
That's a roller coaster. Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
That's the way she goes for show. Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Super glad you came out. And yeah, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you're watching this. It really helps me. And if you can leave a review, I don't know which place.
Do I point
can.
Down?
Yeah, they can't see us actually because it's going to be the podcast.
Point down. Subscribe.
Yeah. But yeah, please subscribe and like, and it just helps me. And I don't know how else I'm going to keep this going unless I start getting out there. This takes a lot of time, but it's totally worth it. Labor of love. Love you guys, and thank you again. Bye.
Bye.